In the book of 1 John, we've been going through 1 John. So if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 7 through 11, and we will study these this morning. I do want to echo Emily's announcement about the Crew Winter Conference. Again, we're doing that here. That's just in a couple weekends from now, and we'd love to have college students come be a part of that. And again, just world-class speakers talking about how can we know Jesus better, how can we understand the gospel, but also how can we share the gospel with others, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our families, and the importance of sharing the gospel around the world. Those will be some of the big focus. So I again, want to encourage you to come to that. That's going to be free. There's also going to be food involved. That will also be free, so totally worth it. All right, so let's read 1 John 2, 7 through 11. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. All right, let's pray. Father God, we do come to you this morning to worship you, to glorify you. The one true God. And Father, we ask for help. We ask that your spirit may fill us, that we may understand and know your word and your commandments, Father, that we especially may know your command to love, your command to love our brothers, to love them well, Lord, and that in that loving, that is seeing truth, that is not being blinded, Lord, that we may not be blinded by this darkness, but that we may truly know your love, Lord. May we see that. We pray things in your name. Amen. All right, so as you can see now, I'm wearing glasses, and there's many people in this room that have known me for a very, very long time, but you've always known me with glasses. You've always known that I wear glasses. There's only one person in this room that's known me before I've worn glasses, and that's my dad, because I didn't get glasses until I got glasses when I was 3 years old. So I've had them for a very, very long time. I don't remember life without glasses. But I've been told many stories from my family about how different I was, how much I changed after I got glasses. One story is, so my mom talks about, again, you know, took me to the eye doctor. They had no clue that I couldn't see very well, but they took me to the eye doctor, and it's like, wow, he got pretty bad eyes. He needs some glasses. And so weeks later, I go back, and they give me my glasses, and they give them to me, and mom's driving me home, and I'm looking at the window, and I'm looking at the telephone poles, and I point to them, and I ask, Mom, why do they put ropes between the posts? I'd never seen them before. I did not know that there was electrical wires, that there was cables between the posts. I'd never seen them. Another story that I've been told is my sister Chrissy, she babysat us a lot and read us books a lot, and I always liked books. And so when I got home that day, we had this bookshelf, and I guess it was a really, really tall bookshelf. And I went and I saw the bookshelf, and it was like I saw it new for the first time, because I'd never noticed that there was 2, 3, 4 top shelves. I'd only seen the bottom two, and I guess I looked at them and I said, "Will you read all of them to me?" And because I'd never seen them before, I'd never noticed them, and so this gaining of the sight from my glasses really changed my world. It changed the way I saw things because I could now see. And so this morning, as we dig into this passage, that's going to be a large theme. It's this ability to see, and how that changes the way we live. And so in 1 John, there's this giant theme of the loving God, the love of God, to love him and the love we receive for him and obeying him. There's a large connection there. And there's especially in this passage that we will see a connection between our love of God and the command to love others. So far as Pastor Mike has gone through 1 John, we've already seen in passages before in chapter 1, he connects this idea of fellowship, of fellowship with God and fellowship with fellow believers and how those are very interconnected. And that's going to be a continual theme that we're going to see throughout 1 John. And so this short passage is kind of an intro to that. And so there's actually going to be a lot of things that I'm not going to cover because John's going to cover them much deeper as we go on. And I'm going to let those be preached later. But there are some big focuses that we can grab onto here. And one of those is that idea, that command to love and its connection to seeing the world clearly and seeing the world in the right light. And so let's get started. And so I don't know if you noticed, but the first couple of verses are very confusing. In 1 John, at least they were confusing to me. You guys might understand things better than I do. But the first couple of verses basically say one thing and then he completely contradicts himself, which is always fun when you're trying to study God's word. But it's actually quite wonderful. It's quite beautiful. And so is what he's teaching here in this verse 7, right where it starts off, is he's talking about that command to love, the command to love one another. Now, as human beings, I think maybe lived long enough to have been told, man, you need to love each other, right? Something that you're taught when you're a young child. Hey, you need to love your brother. You need to love your sister. You need to care for people, your classmates. You need to love. You need to care for them. But John is saying here that this commandment, this command to love, it's not just one that your parents say. It's one from God. It's one that's from God's word. And it's one that is old. It's very old. It's not a cultural, social thing. It's one that's been around for a very long time. When John is saying this, he's kind of saying it's kind of old in a couple different ways. It's old and for them, you know, it talks about the word that they have heard. It's old to them in the sense that Jesus, decades before this would have been written, said these things. Decades before this was written, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he gave many other commandments to love, and so it's old in that sense. But it's also even older than that, because when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he was actually quoting something that was written thousands of years before that. Before he had said those, he was quoting Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He was quoting the Old Testament, the first few books of the Bible written to Moses. You see, this love, this call to love, this command to love others, to love God and to love others, is nothing new. It's not something that's a cultural thing or a social thing or a fad. It is something that God has called us to do since the beginning. We see this in the very beginnings of his word, a call to love. And I think John wants us to realize, I think that's why John says, I give you no new commandment, but an old commandment. I think he says that because he wants us to understand this is something fundamental, foundational to being people of God. This isn't something new. Jesus, you know, sometimes we have this understanding of, or we think that, you know, we got this mean, rough, judgmental God of the Old Testament and this new, loving, kind God, Jesus of the New Testament. But John is trying to be clear here. No, this is an old call. God has been calling us to love since the beginning. It is a foundational, fundamental call and command for the people of God to love others. And then verse 8, again, where I kind of thought it was confusing at first, but now see the real beauty of it. He says something else. He says, at the same time, which is a helpful phrase, at the same time, it is an old command, but at the same time, and it is a new commandment that I am writing to you. It is old. It is foundational. It is fundamental. But it is also new. And so that's the thing we had to figure out. I had to figure out this week was how is it new? In what way is this command that John is giving? Because John, for the rest of this book, is going to really lay out how to love your brother, how to love God, how to love one another. But what is different? What is new about the command now versus the command in Moses? So even the command when Jesus gave it in his life, what is new about it? And thankfully, he answers that right after it. He says this. He says, the command is true in him, and that is Christ, that is God, it is Christ. It is true in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So this new commandment is true because it can be done differently and it can be, and it's done in a different time. And let me kind of explain that and break that down for you. So first of all, it's in him. It is true in him. It is true in Christ. You see, Christ before this, a few decades before this, died on the cross. And when he did that, he died on the cross for the sins of those who believe in him. And then he rose from the dead, right? He changed history. This is a pivotal moment in history where things changed. And in that moment, he changed the way humans are able to live. By believing and trusting in Christ, we can know him and we can see things differently. Let me read, I think they've got it in here, John 1, verses 9 and 10, I think. So this is, again, I'm actually going to talk about the Gospel of John, the book of John, several times, because John actually helps us understand his word pretty well. He uses a lot of the same language. So again, some similar language here. This is John 1, 9 through 10. This is the beginning of the gospel. This is Jesus coming into the world. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And so that's showing a beginning of change, right? Where this is implying that it was dark, but now the true light, a light was coming to the world. So things were beginning to change. And we see that here in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So when Christ came, he began a light. He started a light. But when he died, if you remember, he said that when he goes, he would send another, and Mike talked about this a couple weeks ago, he will send another helper, another counselor with us, and that'd be the Holy Spirit. And so not only would he be here, but also the Holy Spirit would be with us. In John 14, 12 through 14, again, this helps us, again, a lot of similar language between 1 John and his Gospel John. It says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And so he's saying, this is before his death, he's saying, when I die, I will raise again, and when I raise again, I will go back up with the Father, and when I do that, I will be at the side of the Father, and that is going to be a better place for you, for me to be. Because at the side of the Father, he is able to be a mediator between us and God. And so now, as we live in this world, as we love in this world, we are able to get help from the Father through our mediator. We are able to have the power to love other people, to love God himself, because Christ is the mediator between us and God. I love that he says this here, right? Because he says, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Again, Jesus did amazing works in his life. But he says, and greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Because Christ is with the Father, we will do great works. We will do works that man was not able to do beforehand. Because of this, the command is new. The command is new because of the power in which we are able to love others. We are able to love others with the power that Christ has given us through his death and his resurrection. We may love others and we may show love. And so the command is new in its power, it's new in its effectiveness, but it's also new in its timing. Because again, like it says in this John 1 passage, the light has come into the world. And so the world after Christ's coming is different than it will ever be. This is a new age. It's a different age. This isn't the same age as before he was here, and it's not the same age as when he comes back. This age is a twilight hour. It's a time when the sun is continuing to rise. It makes me think of, I like to hunt. When I hunt well, I get up early in the morning, and I go out and I sit out in the dark. And I don't know if you guys, what you guys' experiences with this, but man, when it's dark, everything is an animal. You know, there's a bush next to a fence post, so that's a deer, right? There's a whole bunch of bushes way over there. That's a whole herd of deer coming closer, whatever it may be. But then, as the light begins to come, things become clearer, right? The sun begins to rise, and it's almost like the landscape's completely different. And you kind of feel silly for seeing things the way you saw it. And that's what we're living in now, where God is, through the gospel being preached, people are coming to him and they're beginning to be able to see, and a light is opening people's eyes so that they can see the world clearly for what it is. And so John wants to speak a little bit more specific into what this love looks like and how this love comes about. And he wants to talk about a specific love. Let me read verse 10 here, 1 John 2. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Oh, sorry, verse 9, wrong verse. Verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. So he's again, keeping this idea of light, this idea of darkness, but he uses a word here. He talks about your brother. And I think it's helpful to look into that a little bit, right? Brother can have a few different meanings. Sometimes brother can be a male sibling. Brother could also perhaps be a term, we kind of see this in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus used brother to refer to all people, kind of the same way he'd use neighbor, right? Love your neighbor. He'd say, if your brother does this, we see that in some, not in a lot of places, but in a few places we see that. But the most likely is what this means is brothers. He means a brother or sister in Christ. He means a fellow believer. And we know this one because that's usually when John is talking, he usually either means it to mean a literal brother or he uses it to mean a fellow believer, a Christian. The passage that helps me the most understand that is 1 John 5, again, at the end of this book, verse 1. He has just gotten done talking about, again, this book is so much about loving others, so much about loving God, so much about loving the brother. And he just got done talking about how to love the brother more specifically. And then it ends with this in verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Right, and so in summary, to summarize it up, he clearly says that what he means by brother is those who have been born in him, meaning a fellow believer, a Christian. Now, again, we know that God has commanded us to love our family, to love our literal brothers and sisters, and we also know that God has called us to love our neighbor, to love all who we come across. But in this passage, I believe, and I know he's specifically, and again, we'll see more as we get more into this book, he's specifically talking about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's helpful to know that as we read. And so let's start over again and hear verse 9 and look at it from that perspective. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. This verse is showing something. It's trying to make a claim. It's trying to show that what you say does not answer what is true as much as what you do does. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. So you may say, you may claim that you see. You may claim that you're in a place of light where you can see and you can understand the truth. But he's saying here, if you hate your brother, you actually don't see. You obviously don't see, because if you could see, if you were in the light, if you could see, you wouldn't be hating your brother. You wouldn't be hating your brother, sister, your fellow believer in Christ if you could see well. And so this is pointing out that even though our words, we may say I'm a Christian, we may say I'm a believer, we may say I understand God, we may say I love God, we may say God loves me. But if we say all those things, or do those things, but we do not love our fellow believers, we're blind. There's something we're misunderstanding. There's something we don't see. We're missing the love of God and misunderstanding what it means to be walking in the light. In verse 11, he thankfully goes a little bit deeper. He says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. I want to stop real quick, and this is the second time we've seen the word hate. And I want to look at that, and I don't think that 1 John is speaking to a church that is killing one another. I don't think he's speaking to a church that's they're murdering one another. So say, hey, stop hating each other and killing each other. I think he's talking to a church that is hating, and in that hate, being unkind to each other, not treating each other well, not treating each other as if they are sons and daughters of Christ. I believe that is what's going here. And so if that hate word seems too strong for you and you think, man, I don't hate anybody. One, you probably do, but and that is shown in your actions and in your words. But I think what he is talking about in hate here is actually how we treat others and how we think of them and how we consider them. And so he is saying, if you do that, if you are disrespectful to your fellow believers, if you just have anger and rage in your heart towards them, about them, then you are blind. Like me, before I got my glasses, you cannot see the world clearly. You cannot understand how the world works. I love how it says, hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. I think that word walks is helpful, right? Because that's not just, that doesn't mean you're just sitting there. It's you're actually in the darkness and you're doing stuff, right? You know, you'll walk into a dark room and, you know, you'll stop because you need to turn the light on, right? Because otherwise there's nothing you can do in that room because it's so dark. But this is saying, no, you're in the dark and you just keep walking. You're in the dark and you just keep doing. You just keep living and you're blind and you're stumbling over things and you're pushing things around and you're making a mess and you're making a wreck because you don't see things clearly. And that is seen in the fact that you are hating those who are bought by Christ on the cross. You are hating them, those who God loves. You are hating. You are showing them disrespect. You are saying mean things about them. You are gossiping about them. You are being maybe perhaps passive aggressive, but whatever it may be, we all have different flavors of it. Having boiling thoughts of anger inside of our hearts and our minds, we have different ways of doing it. But that is what you are doing, and in that you are walking around in the darkness, which is obviously not good for them, and it's obviously not good for you either. For you are stumbling and you are falling, and you are blind in your eyes because of the darkness, and you cannot see. Thankfully, John does not stop there in talking about the darkness. He helps us see what it means then to walk in the light. And he says this in verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. It's hard for me to read that phrase, abide in the light, without thinking about what Jesus said in John 15. In John 15, 4 and 5, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Again, he is talking about plants and gardening, but it's the same idea, right? Abide. You must abide. Again, not a word we use a lot here, but to come close to live in, to get strength from, to get protection from, to bind with, to abide in Christ. Without that, you can do nothing. But if you love your brothers, if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you love fellow believers, you are abiding in the light. You are in the light. And if you are in the light, there is no cause for stumbling. There is nothing to make you stumble. This is read a couple different ways by a couple different people. I guess several different stuff I've read sees this in different ways. Some read it as you don't cause other people to stumble, and that's perhaps there. But I think because of the way he's talking about light and the way he's talking about darkness, I believe it is more likely that he's talking about yourself stumbling. I believe he is more talking about you not being able to see the path clearly if you're in the darkness, but if you are in the light, if you're abiding in the light that is Jesus Christ, you can see and you will not stumble. And again, this does not mean that we do everything correct, but I do think it definitely means that if we are loving others and we truly are living in the light, then it is much clearer to see the path that is in front of us. But instead, if we were living in darkness, if we were living in hate, if we're living where we are not loving our fellow believers, that we are not loving our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are living in that and amongst that, in that hate, we are blind, and the path before you will not be clear. and you will continue to stumble. You'll stumble in many ways, not just in the way of not loving, but in other ways of sinful behavior. You will stumble because you totally misunderstand the love and the light of God. You totally misunderstand him if you are living in that way. But instead, if you are loving your brothers, if you are having fellowship with your brothers and sisters and not war, not conflict, you are going to see things clearly. You're going to understand God well. You're going to understand the truth and the light that God brings into this world because you love. Jesus said in John as well, he said that the world will know that you are his disciples by your love for one another. It is by loving one another, by loving each other, by loving the church that the world sees God. It is by that love that the world sees God. There is no cause for stumbling if we love the brother, if we live in the light, if we abide in the light. So what do we do with this? What do we do with all this information? What do we do with this short passage on light and love? Some applications that I put together all have to do with seeing, because I think that's a lot that's here. I think John, you'll notice, is not a straight-up command in this passage yet. As Mike continues on, you will see direct commands that you will be able to follow. But what we do see here is he's trying to show you some truth, to show us some truth. He's trying to bring some light into our own way of looking at the world. And so I guess the first thing I hope that you can see is that you cannot have fellowship with God and hate his children. You cannot have fellowship with God. You cannot be in the light and hate the children of the light. The malice, the gossip, the slander that we have for one another in the church, in the world as a whole, we cannot have that and have fellowship with God. You cannot be in the light and hate the children of the light. And I hope you can see that, and I hope our eyes can be enlightened to that. I also hope that you can see that in Christ you have the power to love in the light. That by Christ's death, by Christ's resurrection, you can see and you can love others. Knowing that by trusting by faith in Christ and his death on the cross, you may see. You may see the world as God has it. You may see the hurting. You may see the lost. You may see those that are to be loved by God. You may see your brothers and sisters hurting and the love that they need. And you may see the love of God that first came to you while you were still a sinner. That you may see that love. And again, this third one is very similar to the first one, but I just want to really drive it home. I want you to see God. I think John here wants you to see that being in fellowship with Christ and in fellowship with the believers, you can have the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shine onto your life. That you can see in front of you, that you may not stumble on the sin and the darkness and temptation in front of you, but instead may rely on the light that comes from Christ, that comes from God himself, and may walk in the light and not walk in the darkness anymore. That, I believe, is the call of 1 John. I'm very excited to see where this book goes because everything I've said today will be diving into more as we get further into this book. But my last, I guess, just call to you as the church, as believers, is that you can see the light by loving others, by loving your fellow believers, by finding ways to continue to love and care for your fellow believers in Christ. And I also pray, and I just come to you, that if you are not in the light, if you are not trusting in Christ, that you do, that you may be in the light and you may see in the light. Praise things. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the light that you shine into this world through Jesus Christ, that his coming to this world was the beginning of the light, but Lord, that it is not the end, that he is coming again to finish the world may continue to be in the light of the Lord. Until then, I pray that we are a people who live in the light, a people who love one another, who love our brothers with all that we have, a people who live for you, who do not walk and stumble in the darkness, but instead walk in the light, loving your children. Praise things in your name. Amen.